Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we look to unlock inspiration one quote at a time. And I hope you've had a fantastic week. I hope you are ready to win your week this week, and that you are recharged and ready to face this world head on. You know, that's interesting. It's how we should approach everything. We need to attack things head on, face to face, without avoidance, without wondering if we can get by or we can find a shortcut. Usually there are no shortcuts to solutions to problems. So if you got things that you're facing this week, if you got problems, you got issues, you got things that are coming up that are troublesome, that are worrisome, the best thing you could do is hit them head on. Show that trouble, show that worry, show that problem that you are not to be messed with, that you're great. You're a great problem solver. You're a great motivator. You're a great doer. You're great at accomplishing things. You're great at accomplishing your goals. So go out there and do it. And I want you to start by listening to this episode of the podcast. We've got a great episode today. We hope that you're going to find inspiration to win your week. So why don't we get started right now? We're going to start off this episode like we do every episode, by taking a shot of motivation. And this week, just like every week, our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. Amy is from Fairway Mortgage, and she has a special deal going on right now. It's an incredible thing that they do over at Fairway Mortgage. They have debt service coverage ratio loans that are available, and this allows borrowers to qualify for mortgages based on a property's cash flow. So this option is ideal for investors who are looking to purchase a long-term or even a short-term rental. You know what that property is making from a cash flow perspective? You can qualify for a mortgage, and all you've got to do is reach out to the real deal, Amy Real. And you do that by giving her a call at 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email her at amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. Let me tell you something else to do. Go follow Amy on Facebook. Go follow Amy on LinkedIn. Amy didn't tell me about this deal, this debt service coverage ratio loan. And I saw it on LinkedIn. She's posting all the time ways that you can save money by doing a mortgage deal with Fairway Mortgage through Amy, the real deal real. So give her a call. Her NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thanks, Amy. All right, let's take a shot. A shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
There are a lot of things in this world that make us feel alone, isolated, Like no one else in the world is going through what we are going through. We oftentimes retreat. We isolate ourselves. It is the fight or flight. And a lot of times we choose flight. Now we can choose that physically where we just kind of go away and lock ourselves in a room or lock ourselves in the house and avoid the public, avoid anyone that wants to be in contact with us. Just recently, the world lost Richard Simmons. Now that was a character right there. He was something. Vivacious, friendly, over the top, some would say. I just think he was a little extroverted. But in the waning years of his life, Richard Simmons, for whatever reason, suddenly went into seclusion, isolated himself from a lot of people that cared about him, a lot of people that were friends, loved ones. We don't know why. We may never know why. But it's such a lonely feeling to be inside the house, inside a room, knowing that there's nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to see. Now, that's a type of isolation. There are others. You could be completely isolated inside a full room full of people. You can be all alone at a party, at a table for 12, at a work function, at a community event. You can be isolated and all alone in a church service. We don't have to disappear into seclusion to be alone. Mentally, we withdraw. And there are a variety of reasons why we do it. You know, I posted something earlier on LinkedIn this week that said, it's okay not to be okay. But it's not okay to stay not okay. And there's a lot of truth to that. There are times where we're all going to feel down, downtrodden, sad, upset, anxious, worried, depressed. Those are emotions that we have, and a lot of times they come from out of nowhere. Everyone's going to feel them from time to time. But what we can't do is allow ourselves to stay in those feelings. Those feelings are sticky. It's kind of like walking through the mud. You ever stepped into the mud and it like sinks up to your shin, right? And you struggle and you pull and you finally get your leg out of the mud and you realize that your tennis shoe is still stuck in the mud. That's what not being okay is like. It's sticky. It's muddy. It's a miry clay. Psalms 40 says that I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of a pit, out of the mud, the mire. I have a good friend by the name of Mike Buchanan, the mad scientist. And the mad scientist Mike Buchanan and I are going to be embarking on a fun project coming up that will be on nationwide television, believe it or not. Abundant TV. Christian network television station that you can download if you go to Roku. It has or Apple TV. It's a free channel. You can download one of their channels. Abundant Television is there. You can see all kind of wonderful Christian programming. Mike and I are going to be on a show, a 30-minute show that coincides with Wrestling for Christ's launch on Abundant TV. And we are going to be doing a wrestling news show, but we're also going to be featuring a segment called Finding Tomorrow that talks about particularly men's mental health and the challenges we face as Christian men in a broken world. Now, Mike is extremely qualified to talk about this. He's written a book. Feeling Down, Look Up. It's a devotional book. He was kind enough to send me a copy. And I hope he doesn't mind, but I'm going to read one of these as part of my shot of motivation because it speaks directly to what we're talking about. And he always starts one of these off with a Bible verse, which I think is great. He says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Now, he wasn't talking about himself here. Jesus was saying to his mother, Mary, "I'm going away. I'm hanging on the cross. I am about to die. I'm about to be resurrected. I'm about to ascend into heaven. I'm not going to be here physically." Standing next to Mary was John, one of the 12 disciples, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved all of his disciples, but he had a special place in his heart for John. And he looked at John and he looked at Mary standing there at the base of the cross. And he said to Mary, he said, "Woman, behold your son." He's asking John to take care of his mother. And this is the devotional that Mike put together. One thing that can cause someone to look down the easiest is when they feel isolated. People can feel alone even in crowds. How much more than when they have lost the most important person in their life? Jesus understood we would all face situations like that in our lives, and he knew what we would need. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's barely alive. He only has minutes to live. And he looks down and he sees two people. One of them was his mother, one of them his closest friend, and they are both at the foot of the cross. Yet even through his pain, he sees theirs. He has a plan for them to take care of each other in the following years. They look up at him to hear what he says, and he has them adopt each other. Jesus has the same idea for us. He wants us to adopt our Christian brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, those older in the faith than we are. He intends for us to never go through life alone. He wants us to care for one another. He's still looking out for us in what seems to be some of our darkest times. So look up. Now, I don't know where you are in terms of your faith and your religion or your beliefs. The Quotivation Podcast is not necessarily that of a religious podcast, but I have a very strong faith in Jesus. And I think there's a very important lesson here. Even if you don't believe in him, even if you're not a follower, there's still a strong lesson here. Life is not intended to be spent alone. We are not wired that way as human beings. We are creatures that desire company. We want to be around people. Now, there are going to be introverts. There are going to be people who say, "Nope, not me. Man, give me a good book and let me crawl up on the couch and leave me alone and I will be fine." But I'm telling you, you're not really fine. We all need someone. Many of us need multiple someones. A best friend, a laughing buddy, a love of your life. And when we find them, we're overjoyed. We're excited. We're happy. We get to share things with them. And when we lose them, it feels like our worlds have been torn apart. But even when the worst tends to happen, as Mary stood there looking up at her son dying on a cross, the thought of a parent losing a child is unimaginable to me. I don't understand. No, if it's happened to you, I don't know how you feel. And selfishly, I don't want to. I can't imagine, and I don't want to imagine what that would be like. But for those who have, I would imagine that at some point, there needs to be a person that speaks into their heart, that speaks into their lives, that rekindles emotions, feelings. Doesn't take the place. No one ever could. No one ever could. But it does allow healing, and it does allow those emotions to be felt once again. We need each other. We need people around us who are going to lift us up. We need people around us that are going to speak truth into our lives. Now, if we all need that, then guess what we need to be to each other? We need to be that to each other. We all have a responsibility here. We all need someone in our lives to speak truth, to give comfort, that we can count on, that we can share with, that we can go through life with. And if we all need that, then we all need to be that for someone else. So this week, as you go out into the world, you may be seeking that person to be that for you. Well, guess what? There are going to be others seeking that person. And the question is not whether you're going to find that person for yourself. The question is, are you going to be that person for someone else? Because that's how you win your week. Go be that person for someone. And I guarantee you, that person that you're being that person for, is going to be that person for you. That's your shot of motivation. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's shot of motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Rachel Gaddis is a dedicated career transition coach who specializes in helping mid-career professionals navigate significant life and career changes. Using coactive coaching methodology, Rachel assists clients in aligning their professional paths with their core values and innate strengths. Her approach is profoundly influenced by her personal experience of a late ADHD diagnosis, overcoming breast cancer, embracing her 50s, and executing a major career shift. Rachel's extensive background in career research, encompassing countless articles, books, and assessments, has enabled her to turn her personal journey into a powerful tool for guiding others. She offers empathetic and strategic coaching, helping mid-career professionals, especially women, to embrace change and craft careers that offer genuine fulfillment and purpose. Please welcome to the Cultivation Podcast, Rachel Gaddis. Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jody. How are you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic. I am excited to have you on today. What you do in your career journey and in taking your experiences and turning that into a personal mission, that just speaks to my heart. I love that. I can't wait to have this conversation. So why don't we jump in? Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in the coaching, and where you see this going for yourself.
Well, I'm so excited to be here, Jody. I've been looking forward to this conversation a lot too. So my name is Rachel Gaddis. I started this coaching business in January this year, which is kind of coincidental since I think you started your podcast around the same time.
Exactly. So
it's
yes.
It's funny to think of us both kind of sorting our way through our new ventures around the same time. Yeah, I had been getting trained as a coach, like an official coach, for years leading up to this and kind of thinking about someday starting my own business, which so many of us have that thing we're thinking about doing someday, but it's scary and we're not sure we're going to take the risk. And I've done so many things during the course of my life professionally. You know, like I've worked as a telephone reservationist at a dinner theater. I've worked as a waitress. I've worked at an ad agency. I've worked doing like graphics layouts at a newspaper. I've worked more at an actual newspaper association. I kind of worked my way through the world of content until I ended up in business analysis consulting on agile teams. And I think it's really on agile teams that I started to feel the pull toward coaching, because so much of what you do in agile is kind of, as the scrum master anyway, you're kind of working with the people on the team and trying to make sure people have their obstacles worked out, or you're paying attention to being attuned with the people on the team and ensuring that everything's working smoothly there, because if it isn't, so much can go wrong. And so I started getting more training that was on the coaching side. And the more I got, the more I loved it and the more I wanted. So I went with there are so many different training models, but the one I went with was the Coactive model from the Coactive Training Institute. And I liked that one because it has the coach and the coachee working together, kind of designing the coaching together.
Nice.
So that's a little about me. That's a lot about me, actually.
That's wonderful. I love that that Coactive methodology of kind of collaborating to not only execute the training, but collaborating to build the curriculum, because it becomes so personalized. There's not this cookie cutter of everybody has to fit in, because we're not cookies, right? We don't all have the same ingredients, the same shape, the same sizes, the same tastes. We're individuals. And I love the fact that you take the time to partner with your coachee or mentee and build that curriculum together. That's really fascinating. What are some of the things now that you're seeing in your coaching career that people are just really struggling with, and how do we begin to overcome those things?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things that I see right now is people, at least in the people who come to me, who, you know, these folks are usually mid-career. So, you know, in their 40s, late 30s, you know, mid 40s, you know, their career has maybe stalled out, or they're not happy anymore in it. You know, they're fantastic at what they do, right? They've been doing it for years now, but they're not sure they want to do it anymore. It's just lost its luster somehow. They're just not happy. And they're trying to figure it out. Like, what do I do now? Do I just keep plugging away at this? Like, I've tried so many jobs now and it's still not doing it for me. Or do I like tap into that dream that I secretly have that I haven't told anyone about that I want to do someday? That's too scary. Like, I want to do it. It's like, I want to live the dream, but I don't want to risk anything to get there.
Yeah.
I want to do the dream, but I want to do it 100% safely. That's the thing I see most often with people I talk with. And I can tell you from personal experience that to have the dream, you have to risk something.
Yeah.
It's kind of like falling in love. You know, you can't fall in love and have a great relationship with someone without risking your heart.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's so true. And to, you know, it's a scary place to be. For individuals, especially as you say, that are in their 40s or in their 50s, like us, to come to the realization that, you know, everything I've done for the last 15 or 20 years has left me unfulfilled, and now I don't know what to do. because I can't keep doing what I'm doing. But I'm scared to do the things that I really want to do. And it's just it's a tough place to be. Because, you know, I love that in your intro, you said you're embracing your 50s. I just entered the decade that you are in a couple of weeks ago.
I'm turning 50 this year, Jerry.
Are you? Okay, so we're the same.
Thing we have in common.
There you go. We're in the same spot. And I don't know about you, Rachel, but you know, the realization that you're reaching certain age, you start counting down, like, how much time do I have left to impact and accomplish what I want to accomplish? And suddenly there becomes this panic of, what if I don't get it all done? Am I gonna have the mental and physical capacity to be able to do it for? And for how long can I do it? And it's you know, all of those.
Well, someday is now, right now.
Oh yes.
You know, that someday that we've been putting things off to, we're like, oh wait, like, when is someday again? Is that in 5 years? Is that in 3 years? Is that now? Right. Let's get a little more tactical about it is what you start thinking, I think, at some point.
You have to. And again, that leads into the scary side of it, because once you start making plans, once you start becoming tactical, there are going to be investments that need to be made both mentally, financially, depending on what it is. And once you start making investments, once you start seeing things move, it suddenly becomes so real. And that's good. And it's good and it's bad.
It's terrifying. It's completely terrifying.
So how do we stay grounded? How do we stay tethered to something that keeps us focused and not in our emotions as much as in our ability to get things done?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think that answer is, it's a little different for everyone from a tactical perspective, but I think the roots of it stay the same. You have to have a strong support group, a strong support network wherever yours is found. You know, for some people, that's in their friends and family, like maybe their spouse is super supportive. For some people, it means joining some groups. You know, I've kind of done both because I want the extra support. So I have some coaching groups that I belong to that include people that are also starting their businesses, so they understand what I'm going through. My husband's been amazing. He's extremely supportive. And I have a few friends too who really get it.
Yeah.
So that's been a fantastic support group for a lot of different facets of what I'm trying to do, which has been really important and helps to keep me going on the days when I'm kind of like, I'm kind of losing my mojo today. I had something discouraging happen yesterday or something. So that can be really, really important. And I think another thing is just your own mental game. You are going to have so many of your, I guess as coaches, we call them gremlins. So many of your doubts and fears are going to come out to play during this time. You're going to realize things about yourself that you never had noticed before because they hadn't had a reason to come up before. And you're going to think, oh, I thought I worked through that years ago. And no, it's still there. It'll always be there as of you. You just have to kind of tell it to get lost when it comes up. And doing that, you know, it's a constant challenge.
It is. And it's a daily struggle. And, you know, I call it, you and I have talked, I call it unshackling. And so it's taking those things that you allow to become your captors, and those things that usually we put on ourselves. You mentioned fear. That's fear and self-doubt are both of them are my vice, you know, and they're irrational. They're irrational fears. You know, you start going back in your mind and, you know, someone hasn't gotten back with you in an email or a text and you start thinking, what did I say? What did I do? Why are they mad at me?
Yeah, you do.
How did I ruin that relationship? You know, and whether it's a friend or a colleague or a potential business partner, you just start getting in your own head.
That little voice in your head is like, oh, this is you. See, that's why nobody wants to work alone.
Right. Exactly.
It's got all this stuff to say that's the same refrain you've been hearing since you were 10 or whatever. And you just kind of get in this spiral. And recognizing that voice when it comes up is really important, because then you can say, then you can kind of have a fact-based response to it, which you would have to have pre-prepared by thinking about what all of those negative voices are that tend to talk to you. But
that's right.
But yeah, if you can come up with like with the self-doubt thing, you know, sometimes it's, I'm not good enough to be doing XYZ, or I'm not qualified enough, or I haven't been doing XYZ for enough years, or, you know, it could be like it could be anything, you know, I'm not funny enough, people don't like me, you know, mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah.
And then you come up with, you know, your data points to counter that. Well,
that's
you
right.
have, you know, these friends that you've been friends with since whenever, or you have, you know, there was that one time when you went to a party and this happened, or look at all the jobs you've successfully won over the years, or look at all the years that you've been doing XYZ skill. And those are all facts, actual facts that you can counter with when that little voice comes up in your head.
Yeah.
And it helps to make it go away.
It certainly helps. And I think one of the things for me that really is helpful in that too, is recognizing who the enemy is here. And that little voice inside our head is us. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
I am my own worst enemy. And I need to recognize that my enemy knows me well, because it's me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but the good side, but the flip side of that is we also know our enemy very well. And so we know how to get ourselves out of that. And I love what you said there, using those fact-based counterpoints to flip the script and to turn that captor into, you know, turn that fear into energy that can be used to accomplish things. And it's so funny when you face the things that you're fearful of, whether it be somebody hasn't, you know, text me back, I wonder what I've said to them. Give them a call. See what's up. How you doing? Haven't heard from you in a while. And usually it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been busy. Let's figure this out. And all of a sudden the fear goes away. So just, you know, turning that into energy and action is such a great way to counter all of that.
Action is the best way to counter it, because you often, action teaches you what's going on. Action illuminates what's happening.
That's exactly right.
And I find that in, you know, my little fledgling business as well. You know, sometimes there are things I'm afraid to do, like I'm afraid to post because what will people think of what I posted? Or I'm afraid to put this thought or that thought out there because what will people think? And action is the best way to counter those fears, because it teaches me something about it. You know, maybe I post and no one reacts. Nobody cared. It's like, what was I afraid of? You know, or maybe I post and, you know, people love it and they've told me nice things and I'm like, oh, you know, look, that went actually really well. I'm on the right track. You know,
But it
always teaches you something.
It does. And then there are going to be times where our fears are realized. You know, we may post something, somebody come back with a counterpoint that completely refutes it and it makes sense. And we realize, oh yeah, that makes sense. But guess what? That's a learning opportunity. It's not anything to be ashamed of. It's great. And so all the way around action, we learn from it. No matter what the reaction is, we learn from it and we're able to grow and become better, as opposed to isolating in fear and not changing, not growing at all.
If you stay where you are, you might not experience discomfort, you know, but you also won't get to experience any growth or any change. So I think what I have done in my life to date, and what I encourage some of my clients to do, depending on their situation, is think about, like, what do you want? Because it's really about what they want. It's not about what I want. So I asked them, you know, what do you want? Like, 5 years in the future, do you want to be waking up in the morning and doing this?
Right.
And a lot of times they're like, no, I really don't. I'm like, okay. So, you know, and sometimes thinking about your future you as a different person. So like your future you, you know, looking back, you know, will they be happy with what past you has done this year to like create the future you's life? Like, do your future you a favor, you know,
I love
make
that.
Life better for future you next year or 2 years from now.
That's
can you do this year to do that?
Right. That's another great quote. I love that. Do your future you a favor. That's fantastic. I love that one.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Because sometimes that helps people remove themselves enough from their current fears, doubts, whatever, right? So that they're thinking of themselves more objectively by just kind of dissociating that one layer. It's interesting. Yeah. It's worked for me before, and it works for a lot of people as well.
It's powerful. It's powerful. And Rachel, mm-hmm. You also have something for our listeners, a free gift. Tell us a little bit about this this guide and what it's about and how we can access it.
I do. I'm excited to share this with everybody. It's a guide to how to recognize toxic workplaces. Mm. And I put this together because so many times, folks, and this has happened to me in my life, and that's one reason I created it. You're in a workplace where you feel like you're not sure if it's you that's the problem that keeps making mistakes or making your employer happy, or if it's something wrong with the workplace. Like, you're starting to wonder if it's, is it me or is it them? And so this is a guide that I called, it's not you, it's them. It's really, really them. A guide to toxic workplaces. Because that's the kind of guide that I always wished I had at those moments, something to sort of walk me through, okay, how do you objectively recognize it? Because by the time you're in that situation, you just, you're just not in a strong place mentally to be mm-hmm. able to rebuff that kind of emotional manhandling, so to speak. Jody will be sharing the link in the show notes, but it's a really fantastic, I've had great feedback on it. And it kind of gives you a little bit of a nudge to say, okay, this is what's really happening to you. Now, what do you want? Like, do you want to stay? Do you want to try to make changes to it? Do you want to try to adjust it? It's hard work to try to change an environment that's been that way for a long time and doesn't want to change. So I do caution folks against trying to do that, because I've done that myself. I've tilted at that windmill, and it's not rewarding. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. It's not that it can't be done, but there are a lot of factors that go into whether you can possibly be successful or not. And it really comes down to fight or flight, right? I mean, you can either fight for it and try to change this culture, but at the end of the day, if the culture is unwilling to be changed by you, don't let it change who you are. And that's difficult, right? I mean,
it is.
Mentioned in the guide that there's this slow breathing of toxic fumes while you're in the environment. And it was such a great analogy, because it's not like something that necessarily smacks you right in the face. It's something that happens over time, and we don't realize it. And suddenly we turn around and we look around and we're like, I don't like who I am when I'm there. What exactly happened, right? So that's a fantastic guide. I will definitely be putting the link in the episode notes, so check that out. It's a free guide. I've read it. It is fantastic. It is spot on. It gives you a great guidance through how to handle it, and figure out what your steps are for you. And I think that's incredibly important when trying to overcome a toxic environment like that. What I love about it too, Rachel, is that it doesn't necessarily apply just to toxic workplaces. It can apply to anything that is toxic in your life.
Yes, that's true.
It's the same elements. It's the same symptoms. A lot of it is the same things that we have to think about, and whether that's severing a friendship or really having a difficult conversation with someone to say, hey, listen, I love you, but we've got to change the dynamics of our relationship. And those can be very hard to do. But this guide is helpful.
Because you're tempted to do the status quo. But one thing I think, I'm really glad that you liked it and got a lot out of it, Jody. And I think your listeners will too. I'd love for you guys to let me know what you think of it.
Absolutely.
After you read it.
Yes, definitely. And we're going to be putting your contact links into the episode notes as well. How you can connect with Rachel on social media, LinkedIn. Her coaching company has a LinkedIn page that you can follow on Facebook. So we'll be putting in how to reach out to Rachel for not only just what's in the guide, but what she does in terms of helping you navigate your career, navigate the changes that you want to make in your career. We're going to give you those links so that you can get in touch with Rachel. But right now, I want to dig in, Rachel. Let's talk about your quote. I love this one.
Yes, I love this quote too.
It's fantastic.
This is a quote too that I think speaks to me because it's inspiring to me for my clients, for myself, you know, in my past, like changing careers and just seeking what I hadn't found yet. And the quote is, "The measure of intelligence is the ability to change." And this has been credited to Albert Einstein. And I feel like it's a reminder, you know, that as we learn new things, as we get new information, we change. Yep. It's inevitable, right? You get new data, it changes you.
It does.
And sometimes that means you change your career.
Absolutely. And you know, change is always one of those things that when people hear change, it's scary and there's a visceral reaction to it. But because we get comfortable, we get complacent. We like things to be the way we like to know what to expect. And so whether we like the people we work with or not, we know what to expect when we go in.
Exactly. The devil, you know.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah. The devil, you know, that's exactly right. And so when change happens, there's this feeling of anxiety and worry and angst because now we have to kind of quote, start over and build a relationship with this other person or with this new boss or with this new company. But what's great about it is, and I know you've probably felt this in your career, I've experienced it in mine. Anytime we make that kind of change, we are not the same person we were when we started because we've learned so much going through that path. And so we're taking with us these experiences and this starting over is not starting over from the start line we were before. It's like, it's leveling up. It's going to the next level. And I love the fact that Einstein said that the sign of intelligence, because, you know, you really have to be intentional and use your brain to think about and have the right mindset to face change. And that's what I take from this quote is it's about mindset, isn't it?
It is. Everything does come back to mindset. And I know that sounds so, you know, woo woo, you know, well, of course a coach would say that, but, you know, I expected when I made the decision to start my own coaching practice, I had ideas, right, about what was going to be hard about it. I thought that getting clients would be the hardest thing about it. I thought that the businessy side of it, right, the getting the LLC, the like paperwork side of it would be the hardest part of it. I thought that keeping track of the money would be the hardest part because I didn't think of myself as a mathy person. I was wrong. That stuff came easy for me compared to the mindset part. Yeah. The fact that the more that I risked, the more new things that I tried, the more my little negative voices, doubts, self-doubts, you know, sometimes coaches call them gremlins, the more those things came out and started talking to me really loudly and saying, "You can't do this, you know, this isn't going to stick. You always try new things, you know, and this is going to be another one." Just whammy after whammy. And I had to really get mentally, like lift weights mentally to try to deal with this. I had to learn new tools.
Yeah. I love that analogy because it is really kind of working out that muscle, right? It's not going to be strong until you exercise it. And it takes time and energy and effort to really get into the right frame of mind to accept change. But once you're there, it's such a positive experience because with the right frame of mind, you can look at change and you can say, instead of saying, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be so scary. I don't know how I'm going to manage this." You can look at it and say, "Oh wow, something new. I get to learn. I get to grow. I get to experience something I haven't experienced before." And so change suddenly goes from being this visceral negative reaction to something we're excited about. and something we can look at and grasp hold of. And so I think, it, but you're right. I mean, it's a daily grind to stay in that mindset because
you have to work at it, right? Yeah. It's like, and sometimes, you know, everything comes back to relationships for me, because I think relationships are important. So I liken it to being in a good relationship. You know, it's not like you meet the right person, you fall in love, and then you ride off into the sunset and everything's great ever after. You still have to work at it.
Yep.
You still have to kind of do that maintenance work, or, you know, something will pop up and you'll have to kind of together tackle that once in a while or something. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
this is just like anything that you want really badly. You have to work at it.
You have to work for it. That's exactly right.
You do.
Well, Rachel, as we begin to wrap up, I want to ask you this question, because one of my things I love for my audience to be able to win their week, and winning your week is doing something that you normally wouldn't do to move yourself closer to your goal. And I want people to be able to take some inspiration from this show to be able to do that this week. So as we think about this quote from Einstein about, you know, the sign of intelligence is your ability to change. So how can someone take this quote, apply it to their lives in a way that's going to move them forward and help them win their week?
I love that question. And yeah, I mean, you got to apply things to your life, or, you know, you don't really, it's just like something that floated by. and I would say, think of one small thing that takes you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Just one small thing. Maybe it's initiating a conversation. You know, for some people that would be, I can't do that, you know. So try that. Just try it one time.
Yeah.
For other people, it might be asking a question during a meeting, right? I mean, right. If that's you, try that, you know, put yourself out there a little bit. You know, for some people, it might be trying a new hobby that you've been thinking about trying, like maybe trying to cook something, you know? So just try one little thing that takes you out of your comfort zone, just one thing, and see what that does to your brain, right? You might find it lights up new neural pathways for you, and your brain goes, I kind of like that, actually.
I believe wholeheartedly that we are instinctively explorers, and as a being, we love to find and discover new things. It's how man has evolved over centuries. You know, going from the Stone Age into the technology age, all of that was done through exploring. Expanding the globe was done through exploring, even space exploration. I mean, we, you know, whether you believe we went to the moon or not, you know, the idea was that we did. And so, you know, I think it's just inherently within us to want to try those new things, or want to find those new things. I think at the same time, we also have an instinct of protection, because, you know, we were not always at the top of the food chain. And so there's this instinctiveness to withdraw and to protect. And so those two battle one another. But I tell you what, when we get into a mindset of exploring and finding those new things, trying those new things, growing our comfort zone, you're right. Neural pathways light up. Our brains just catch fire, and the drive within us, the feeling is just euphoric, and it's amazing. And so I think that's fantastic advice. Advice for our audience and ways that they can win their week. She is Rachel Gaddis, and she is an incredible career coach. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Quotivation Podcast. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Check out our episode notes. Find that free gift. I'm going to tell you something. This Guide to a Toxic Workplace is a fantastic resource for anyone who feels like they're even remotely struggling with this, whether it be in the workplace or in the relationship, whatever. Download that guide. It's fantastic. Get in touch with Rachel. She will coach you through how to make that career transition, or to grow the career that you have today. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast.
Thank you, Jody. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for being on the Quotivation Podcast. That was Rachel Gaddis, a fantastic career coach. And she brought a quote from Albert Einstein: the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. Check out the episode notes. Find that survival guide of toxic workplace. RachelGaddisCoaching.com/survival-guide. It's in the episode notes there. Rachel's going to do something else for you as well. She sent me a link where you can schedule a free 30-minute session with Rachel to figure out where you are in your career, in your career journey, where you want to go, how she can help you get there. That's also in the episode notes, so check out those two links. And again, thank you, Rachel, for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Now, before you go do that, stick around, because we've got just enough time. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
The measure of intelligence is the ability to change, by Albert Einstein. It's another great quote from the genius who was Albert Einstein, but I feel like I need to add a word to this quote, and I'm going to explain why. You see, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It happens to all of us. Whether we want it to or not, there's very little that we can do to prevent change. Most things don't stay the way they are indefinitely. Ultimately, something changes. A beautiful garden, if left unattended, will change over time. It will be overgrown with weeds and things that weren't intended to be planted within the garden. So you have to tend it. But left unattended, change will happen. It happens regardless. Now, we can prevent that change by weeding the garden. We can prevent some things from crawling into our lives, the bad things crawling into our lives. We can prevent that change. But inevitably, things move forward. They evolve. Change is a constant. And so in this quote, it says, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. Now, what is the ability to change? Because change seems to happen to us, but change is something that we also can initiate within ourselves. And I think that's what Einstein's talking about here, is that ability to change. And the word that I would add to that is the ability to adapt to change. Because while we can initiate change within ourselves, change also happens outside of ourselves. And we have to be able and willing and ready to adapt to that change. You may think you're in a wonderful job right now. You may love your boss. You may love this company. You may love the culture. You may love the work. But what happens when the boss moves on to another position, another company? What happens when external factors that are beyond our control change the way that the business is done at your organization, and suddenly everything's different? We have to be able to adapt to that change. We may not like it. Chances are we won't like it. Because now we kind of have to start over. We have to learn more. There's more work to be done. We had it set up perfectly. We were kind of running on cruise control. But Einstein's saying that if you really want to measure your intelligence, measure your ability to change. And that includes things like chasing your dreams. Chasing your dreams. It's never too late to do that. You know, no matter where you are on the calendar, no matter how many days have passed in your life, it is never too late for a career shift, for a change, for you to step out in faith and chase your dreams. Dreams only remain in the dream world when we don't chase them, when we don't move, when we don't perform action. And it sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? It sounds like a fairy tale. I'm going to chase my dreams. I'm going to achieve my goals. Once upon a time, there was a little boy or a little girl who had a dream. And they captured that dream and lived happily ever after. Well, guess what, folks? There are some harsh realities in between once upon a time and happily ever after. And here are some of them. And Rachel and I talked about some of these. You need a support group. You need a tribe. You need fans. Now, it can be your family. It can be your friends. It can be coworkers. It can be support groups that you find where people are in kind of the same place that you are. You need someone to talk you off the ledge on those hard days when you face setbacks that help you realize that setbacks are not dead ends. Second, you need to monitor your mental health. You see, when you step out and it's all on you and it's up to you to accomplish things, there's no one else to blame. There's no one else that takes credit. It's all on you. There are some things that mentally happen to you. Past traumas reemerge. Doubt, imposter syndrome, all of these things will be enhanced and they'll be louder when you step out in faith. And we do it to ourselves. Don't forget that. All of the trauma, all of the doubt, all of the shame, all of the fear, all of those things we place upon ourselves. And if someone else is placing those things upon you, get away from that person. The third reality when chasing your dreams that this is not a fairy tale. It's not. Most things are going to take hard work. It's going to take difficult decisions. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take faith. It's going to take belief in yourself. So the dream, the goal, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, it better be worth all of the sacrifice and all of the work and all of the doubt that you have and all of the fears that you'll face and all of the mocking and criticism that the world will throw at you. Make sure your goal is worth it to go through all of this because it's not going to be easy. But if your goal is worth it, if your dream is worth it, and if you find fulfillment in what you want to do, then you will find a way to overcome everything that we've just talked about. You will work hard and it won't feel like work because you're following your passion. It'll be fun. You'll be tired. You'll be stressed. You'll face difficult decisions. You'll face hard times. You'll have to sacrifice. But in the end, you'll be so much more fulfilled than just being a cog in a wheel. A cog in a wheel where you're incapable and unable to impact and affect change. A cog in a wheel where change isn't caused or is it done by you? Is it initiated by you? Change happens to you. You'll be so much more fulfilled. Use those fact-based counterpoints that Rachel talked about to attack those irrational fears, the doubt, the shame. And of course, I love what she said. Action is the best way to eliminate your fears. Hit them head on. There truly is nothing to fear but fear itself. Face that fear, turn it into energy, use it, manipulate it, let it be your fuel. Action is the best way to counter those fears. And finally, and this is what I think you are going to use to win your week this week. We all have those things that we say, someday we'll do this. Someday we'll start a podcast. Someday we'll do a career transition. Someday I'll stop being an accountant and go after that dream, whatever that is. Someday. You want to win your week? Make someday today. Go do it. Take a step. Just one small step. Because you can't get to the finish line if you don't leave the starting line. That's how you win your week. That's all the time we have on the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring our Shot of Motivation. And I want to thank Rachel Gaddis for being on, our special guest this week, with this powerful quote from Albert Einstein: the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.